the door?
Never mind. I'll walk through it.
Costello! Costello! Look who it is, that famous killer!
Hi, this is Keith, your host, and it's time for the Retro Radio Podcast.
Hate him. I hate him. I hate him.
Well, thank you. The Retro Radio Podcast, the Internet's best-kept secret source for your favorite old-time radio shows.
I can't understand why we haven't got any customers coming in.
Always family-friendly, always good, clean fun.
So I hope I have been of some assistance with the children.
It's the place where new tech meets old tech and likes it.
Never had one bit of trouble with it.
Now located at retro-otr.com. Visit us today and leave us a comment. Email us feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Welcome to the Retro Radio Podcast, taking trips back to the days when radio was young.
Our feature today is one from Fibber McGee and Molly. Letter to the Postmaster, from an unknown date.
Now here's Keith with an important message.
All right, out there, podcast listeners, this is Keith, and just wanted to say hello and welcome to the Retro Radio Podcast, and thanks for downloading our shows, and for those people who have signed up for a login account on our homepage, or even to the newsletter, welcome, and I'm glad that you have taken the time to do that. I've also had a couple of comments out there. Most notably, recently, there was a guy. I assume it's a guy. Anyway, there was a commenter on a Spike Jones episode or two, and really appreciated that, getting some feedback on good old Spike Jones and some info about the show had to do with William Frawley of the I Love Lucy fame. Being a guest voice when he guest starred on the show, would have been on an episode last August, and it was another one at near the same time comment about the was the absence of comedy bits on the show. The commenter suggested it may have something to do with the World War II coming to an end, and I'm sure it did. A lot of interruptions and celebrations happening at that time. It probably put the show a little bit cattywampus there for a little bit. All right. Well, we have a pretty good show today. I'm going to turn it over to my Retrobots and let them handle it. So take it away, guys.
Guys?
And Jill.
That's better.
Sorry. Away you go.
Thanks, Keith. Now here's Lulu, Belle, and Scotty down by the railroad track.
Blow that whistle, Sappy. Let's go down by the railroad
there
track.
There we go.
A gal named Lulabelle, she thought a lot of me, but for some cause her family and I could not agree.
And if she called there at my home, we're sure to start a fight. So for that reason, we would take a walk each Wednesday night.
Down by the railroad track, down by the railroad track, I'd hold her hand
and I'd chow gum down by the railroad track.
Her for 7 months, and then one summer's day, her pappy found it out, and then there was the dues to pay.
He said, young man, come here to me, I want to work with you.
And where do you reckon I found myself when finally I did come to
work?
Down by the railroad track, down by the railroad track. The birds were singing merrily down by the railroad track.
Down with a family all
our own.
Upon our wall, there hangs a sign that says,
"Don't
live at home."
Both she and I take walks each night,
but it's up and down the floor.
Trying to get those kids to sleep, we never walk anymore.
Down by the railroad track, down by the railroad track.
Somebody else is there tonight,
down by the railroad track.
In Saipan, one Marine says to another, "Hey Joe, you got a
podcast?"
And his pal says, "Sure," and hands him one. The same thing happens on an aircraft carrier off the Philippines and in the fighting beyond Aachen. And then, too, people at home are
listening
more than ever before. So, unfortunately and unavoidably, there will be times when your dealer has to say to you, sorry, no
Retro Radio Original Podcast
today when you ask for them. But remember this.
The Retro Radio Podcast.
Kind, cool, throat-easy mildness and
The Retro Radio Podcast.
Rich, full, fresh flavor. Make
The Retro Radio Podcast
worth asking for again the very next time you
need to listen to old-time radio. So visit retro-otr.com and listen today. Hey, we still have some time. Here's Gab Calloway from 1947.
Where's he at?
Just two blocks down, then turn left.
Say, Daddy-o, do you know where a cat can have a ball and put on a fine feed bag?
Oh, Jack, you want to knock yourself out a real fine pad? Now, let me see. I really do know something. Are you straight?
Oh, I'm cool. Real cool.
Oh, you're cool, huh? Well, if you're real cool, listen to me. I'll tell you just what to do.
If you've a hankering to have a ball and you can't find your way down to the hall, just two blocks down, turn to the left on the right-hand side of the street. You hear piano played by Bessie Green. Eat country spare ribs from the chef's cuisine. Two blocks down, turn to the left on the right-hand side of the street. They're not responsible for personal happiness unless you join the spirit of the night. The wine ain't rare, the folks ain't square, you'll be glowing like a neon light. My regards to Mr. Henry Lee. He is the owner of the place, you see. So get along and don't be nervous. Henry will give you special service. Just two blocks down, turn to the left on the right-hand side of the street. Responsible for personal happiness unless you join in the spirit of the night. The wine ain't rare, the folks ain't square, you'll be glowing like a neon light. Give my regards to Mr. Henry Lee. He is the owner of the place, you see. So get along and don't be nervous. Henry will give you special service. Just two blocks down, turn to the left on the right-hand side of the street. Say, old man, did you knock yourself out down at that band?
It was real gone.
Oh, Jack, did you dig that good fried chicken that that chef had down there?
Great, great.
Well, now, listen, don't forget. I'm going to tell you where it is. It's on the left-hand side of the street.
Can you believe it? We still have time for one more quickie.
Here's a few classic moments with Bob Hope and Judy Garland.
From 1943.
Judy Garland.
Thanks, Bob. Hiya, fellas. Sweater girls. Bob, why are men so crazy about sweater girls?
I don't know, Judy. That's one mystery I'd like to unravel.
What are you doing now, Bob?
Oh, I'm down at Paramount making another successful picture.
Oh, Bing Crosby's in it.
What?
Oh, Bing Crosby's in it.
Say, but Judy, if you have ever worked in the picture with me, you'd appreciate me more.
Well, maybe you're right, Bob.
Say, now that I think of it, how come I've never been your leading man?
Well, Mother is so careful.
Yeah, they're either too young or they got mothers.
Anyway, I prefer leading men like Charles Boyer. Did you ever notice how he looks at you with those half-closed lids? He's romantic.
Oh, he's not romantic. With those heavy eyelashes, you just can't lift them any higher.
And I'd like a leading man like Jimmy Cagney. Gee, there's a tough mug.
Yeah, well, what about me?
Oh, it's tough about your mug, too.
Yeah. Well, Judy, I'll show you I can do just as well as Charles Boyer and Jimmy Cagney both. First, I'll be Charles Boyer calling on his girl, okay?
Okay.
You be the girl, Judy. Some Charles Boyer music, please.
It is a wonderful night to be calling on the beautiful Judy. I will take you to the finest joint, the Casbah, the Casbah. Here is the house. The light is in the window. I shall knock on the door. My Judy, she is home. Her father, he is home, too.
Oh, Charles, come in. How are you this evening?
Oh, my charm, it is scintillating. My face, it is beautiful. My personality is superb, and my lower lip ain't doing bad either.
Oh, Charles, my love, do you like me in this flimsy gown?
Oh, yeah. You are, how you say it in French, so... Ho, ho, ho! Oh, my sweet one. My sweet one, I love you, I love you. I love you.
Oh, Charles, stop looking in that mirror and sit down.
My Judy, you are so sweet. Now, come, let me kiss your lips.
Ah, no, no, but you may kiss my hand.
Egad, everywhere rationing.
Charles, my other boyfriend will be here any minute.
Poof, I'm not afraid. You know what I will do? I will open that door and run right into the closet.
I bet you will not open that door and run right into the closet.
I bet I will.
I bet you won't. Look, here he comes now.
You're right, it's the cellar.
And here's Jimmy Cagney calling on his girl. Gee, it's great to be calling on Judy. What a dame she is. So elegant. What manners. When a soup's hot, she never blows on it. She jumps up on a table and fans it with a skirt. Well, this is my dame's house. I'll knock on the door. Well, there goes me manicure.
Hey, Jimmy, come in.
Yeah, Judy, listen, I gotta be careful. I think the cops chased me up here.
Are you sure?
Yeah, look out of the window. What do you see?
Your long underwear. It ain't dry yet.
Well, anyway, it's good to see you, honey. I love you, see.
Gee, you're really tough, ain't you, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm plenty tough. You see that phone book over there? Watch, I'll rip it right in half. Lucky we live in Glendale.
Hey, kiss me, Jimmy. I'm just crazy about you.
How was it?
I'm crazier than I thought.
You can't talk about me like that. I like to push this grapefruit in your face.
Oh, yeah? You wouldn't dare push that grapefruit in my face.
I wouldn't.
Well, pass the sugar.
Now for our featured presentation.
Who's the letter from, McGee?
Government. Some general, it says on the envelope.
Oh, no, they can't draft you again.
Oh, the heck they...
Yes, it's Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Monday through Friday, NBC brings you the Fibber, McGee, and Molly program, transcribed, written by Phil Leslie and directed by Max Hubbell. Knowing what to do when accident or illness strikes your family is mighty important. The Red Cross trains millions of Americans each year in first aid, water safety, home nursing, and as volunteer nurses' aides. This training enables you to help the victim of an accident or to care for a member of your family who is ill. Volunteer nurses' aides assist professional nurses in hospitals and clinics, in blood centers, and with mobile blood collection units. This help requires skill. It is through the Red Cross that you and your neighbor can get that skill, can get that training. Through the Red Cross, you can answer the call of your family and your community. Help make this training possible. Give through the Red Cross Fund.
Well, go ahead, McGee. Open the letter. Which general is it from?
The Postmaster General, kiddo. And if he's beefing about my box rent being overdue again, he can just go... Oh, listen to this, Molly. Says, dear taxpayer...
They can say that again.
Yeah. Says, your new administration is conducting a survey of the Postal Department to learn whether you, the taxpayer, are getting the proper service.
That's what I like about new administrations. They're always so friendly, aren't they?
Yep. Says, we are asking you, the taxpayer, whether you consider the postal service in your area satisfactory or not. Your prompt reply will help us settle the 7th, so forth and so on, and signed, Postmaster General.
Well, bless their little political hearts. Write and tell them everything is just dandy and to let us know if they have a sale on airmail stamps.
Boy, oh boy, how do you like that? Our own government asking me for advice.
I hope they know how far their necks are out.
Oh, boy, will I give it to them. I'll write them guys a letter that'll melt the bronze plaques off of every post office from Peoria to Punxsutawney, P.A. I'll knock them out a nasty note that'll wake up the dead letter office.
I wouldn't be...
I'll blow the lid off the whole dad-ratted postal department. That's what I'll blow the lid off the whole.
Why?
Why? What do you mean, why? The post office wrote and asked me, what do I think of the service, diddly? Naturally, I'm going to write them the dirtiest, most insulting letter I can think up.
Why?
Look, maybe you don't understand, my dear. This is the government. Nobody ever writes anything nice to the government. They want to know what I think of the postal service, so
now, look, McGee, let's face it. Our mail service is just wonderful, and you know it.
Ah.
Every morning, come rain, snow, or stray dogs, that mailman climbs our front steps to bring you a circular or a postcard or a gas bill.
Ah.
And if he hasn't any mail for you, he rings the bell to apologize.
Yeah. Fine thing, waking a customer up just to tell him he's got no mail.
Well, any customer that has to be waked up at 10:30 in the morning doesn't deserve mail. Our postal service is just fine.
Oh, yeah? You call it fine service last winter when I asked the mailman to mail a letter to Fred Nittany and he says it isn't stamped and I says, sell me a stamp and he says I haven't got any with me and he had to go clear back to the post office to get a 3-cent stamp for me and when he come back with a stamp, he didn't even have change for a $20 bill. You call that service?
Well, he finally just gave you the stamp, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe he did at that. It was dirty, though. It had sleet and snow all over it.
You're lucky it wasn't blood. If I'd have been that mailman...
Hold it, Tootsie. Come in.
Well, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hello there, kids. Hiya, daughter. Hiya, Johnny. What's new?
We were just discussing a letter McGee got.
Yeah, you can give me your opinion on it, Oldtimer. What do you think about the U.S. mail?
Well, now, I was just reading some statistics on that today, Johnny.
Good, let's have them.
Says the average U.S. male today is 2 inches taller than his grandpa was, weighs 160 pounds, and likes bebop, baseball, and girls. He spends an average...
No. That's not the kind of male we're talking about.
We mean the post office.
Oh, he likes to play that, too. The average U.S. male is...
Hey, hold it. I'm trying to tell you I got a letter from the government asking me what I think about the mail service, the post office department. So I...
Oh, that post office. Well, now, that's a very fine institution, Johnny.
That's what I keep telling him.
I got a soft spot in my heart for the post office, kids. I never walk in there that it don't remind me of Papa.
Your father? Was he a mailman or something?
I never knew, Johnny. Papa left home when I was just a boy. Disappeared into the night. Every day after that, Mama used to go down to the post office.
Oh, waiting for a letter, was she?
Nope. She just went in to admire Papa's picture on the wanted posters. Had a very fine likeness of him that John Darms did.
Did he ever come back home?
Well, it was very interesting, Johnny. I got so sick and tired of looking at that bald puss of Papa's that I snuck in there one night with a charcoal and drew a big head of hair, a mustache, and a full beard onto him. That done it.
What happened?
Cops took a look at it the next morning, went out and arrested General Grant.
Ah, oh, for the love of you.
Papa come home and him and Mama lived happily ever after. And that's why I love the post office. So long, kid.
So long.
¶¶
At least once a day, you probably hear the old saying, it takes all kinds of people to make a world. That could very easily be changed to, it takes all kinds of people to make a community. In your community, there are people of different races, creeds, and nationalities. Each of them has something to give to the community, his strength, skill, or knowledge to make it a better place. When you let racial or religious prejudice influence your community life, it's yourself that you're cheating. It's your country's good name that you're tampering with. Let's read the old saying this way. It takes all kinds of people to make a community or a nation strong.
General Postmaster General writing me a letter.
Why don't you just sit down and write the Postmaster General and tell him the Postal Service is just fine?
Oh, no. Not yet, kiddo. I'll think about it a while first.
Well, I can't find anything to complain about, and neither can you.
Well, I'll keep trying, though, till... Hey, what about that big hassle we had with them guys 3 years ago over the Christmas cards? Yeah, the Christmas cards. What about that, the Christmas cards?
You mean the time we got them all out early in December?
Yeah, New Year's Day rolled around and not one of our cards had been delivered, and I went down to that post office and I... Oh. You found them in my overcoat, didn't you?
I did that.
Well, I'll think of something.
All right, sweetheart, but don't write any poison pen notes till I get back. I've got to run upstairs and sort the laundry before the laundryman...
Okay, Tootsie. Ah, there goes a good kid. And generous to a fault. Here's the government just begging me to criticize them, and she wants me to pass up the chance to blast the daylights out of them, but by George, I'll... Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello there, Teeny. Oh, I'm glad to see you.
What you doing, mister? What you doing? What you... Anything?
Oh, as a matter of fact, sis, I'm conducting an impartial survey among my neighbors as to the merits and the demerits of the United States Postal Service as represented locally. Answer yes or no.
Well, I,
I got a letter here from the Postmaster General, Teeny. They want to know if our mail delivery is okay. What do you think?
Well, I think our mailman is just wonderful, mister. He's so nice.
Yeah?
Yeah. Every morning he goes to the house next door, and a pretty lady comes to the door, and he gives her a letter, and then he gives her a big kiss.
Aha! Now I got him. Now. You mean to tell me the mailman kisses all the women down the block?
Oh, no, no. Just the lady next door to us, the one he's married to.
Oh, that one. Well, even so, that's not very official behavior.
Yesterday, our mailman went to Willie Toops' house, and he rang the doorbell, and Willie came to the door, and Willie's dog ran out and bit him right on the veranda.
Yeah? Did the mailman get sore?
Oh, no, he just laughed like everything.
The dog bit him, and he laughed?
No, the dog bit Willie.
Oh, Willie.
That silly dog. He always bites Willie.
Yeah?
He thinks Willie's a pork chop, I bet you.
Yeah, well, there is a certain resemblance. But to get back to the mailman...
His name is Mr. Gilman.
Oh.
Yeah, Gilman. Mm-hmm. And me and Willie always wait for him when he comes home from work because he plays Indian with us.
Oh, plays Indian,
mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Willie's the big chief and I'm the papoose and Mr. Gilman is the squaw.
Oh.
And he lets me ride in his mail pouch all around the block and boy, does it ever get stuffy in there.
Yeah, man. Well, I can see I'm not getting anywhere with you, sis. I just hate to pass up a chance to blow the lid off of this.
Oh, there he goes now on the way home.
Who?
Hey, Mr. Gilman.
Oh.
It's me, Teeny. Can I ride home with your mail pouch? Oh, boy.
Doggone it, this is very discouraging. Here I get the chance of a lifetime to tell
who
these guys...
Who is here, McGee?
Oh, that kid down the street. I still think she's a midget. Doggone it, this is disgusting, Molly. 20 years I've been writing nasty letters to the government.
Oh, at least 20 years.
So now, for the first time in my life, the government asked me to criticize them. They begged me to criticize them, and I ain't been able to dig up a thing. But by George, I'll think of something to beep about if it takes me the rest
Howdy.
Of...
Howdy. McGee, you home?
Oh, yes. Come on in, Dr. Gamble.
Well, afternoon, my dear. Hello, Grouch Puss.
Hi, Blob.
You gonna bowl with us tonight?
Yeah.
See, who's ahead of the bowling, Doctor, you or McGee?
I am, of course. When it comes to any sort of physical contest with little mouse muscle, my dear, I am way out in front.
You're way out in the back, too, Lard Bucket.
Oh.
And way out on both sides. And, hey, what do you find wrong with the Postal Service, Doc?
Huh? Postal Service?
Yeah, Postal Service. Give me the dirt. Do they lose your mail? Do they ever bring you packages of medicine busted all up? Does the mailman track mud in your office and flirt with your nurse?
Have you seen my nurse?
A good point.
Hey, what brought all this on, anyhow?
Well, himself here, like all taxpayers, I suppose, got a letter from the Postmaster General today asking him how the Postal Service is.
Yeah, and I've been racking my brain all day, and frankly, I can't find a dad-ratted thing to beef about. Ain't that disgusting, Doc?
I can see how you feel.
It's a dirty, underhanded trick. That's what it is.
Yeah.
If they'd asked me what I think about taxes or about them chug holes on 14th Street or how do I feel about the price of groceries. But no, they got to ask me about the Postal Service.
Oh, come on. Give up, McGee. Answer the Postmaster General's letter. Come on now. Here's a pen.
Okay. I know when I'm licked.
Yeah, and I know how it hurts you to write something nice.
Yeah, well, gee whiz. Dear Mr. Farley, I got your...
Hey, wait a minute, Farley.
That's what it says on the letter, stupid. Yep. James A. Farley, Postmaster General.
Let's see that. Heavenly days, look at the date.
Huh? Oh, my gosh, November 23rd, 1932.
Great Scott.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Dear Mr. Farley, frankly, we find your mail delivery a little slow.
Fibber and Molly will be back in a moment. The old expression, it's a small world, has new meaning today. The world has grown even smaller. With modern long-range aviation, enemy planes could reach the United States in a matter of hours. Of course, our nation has taken steps to protect us. There's an extensive radar network to detect the approach of planes. But radar can't do the entire job. That's up to us as individual citizens. Right now, the Air Defense Command needs 300,000 more volunteers for its Ground Observer Corps. Write or phone your nearest Civil Defense Center. All right, Ground Observer Corps, Air Force, Washington 25, D.C. NBC has brought you the Fibber, McGee, and Molly program, transcribed with Bill Thompson as the old-timer and Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble. The part of Teenie was played by Teenie. And here are Fibber and Molly to say...
See you tomorrow night. Good night.
Good night, all.
Inviting you to be with us again tomorrow night for another visit with Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Just for laughs, listen to Can You Top This? Next on the NBC Radio Network.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast. Retro-OTR.com.
Oh, what a horrible night.